Amen. Whew. Breathe on me. Breathe on us, Lord. Well, first I want to do something I've always wanted to do. Picture time. Smile. Here we go. It's actually working. Great. Thanks, Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, we've had a great morning, good lunch. It'd be real easy to get tired right now, but I pray you'd give us ears to hear. Keep our eyes open, keep us attentive, and help us hear what you want to say to us from you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy 1:5, the aim of our instruction is love that flows from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. If you have your Bible, please open with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We've talked about personal assurance. We've talked about a personal piety. And now we're going to talk about personal holiness. Chapter 1, verse 9. The law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. By the way, don't hear those words as condemnation. Look down at verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Then turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been captured by him to do his will. So personal holiness. What is holiness? What is holiness? I would define holiness as the quality of being Christ-like. Being Christ-like. When we come to Jesus, we are made holy. That's part of what he does with us when he saves us. In the epistles, most of them begin with grace, like, for example, of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to the saints who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Who are the saints? If you translate that as holy ones, it was assumed that when you come to Christ, you are made a holy one. But also, when we come to Jesus, we are being made holy. We're in this process called sanctification. That's the theological term. And then one day, as followers of Jesus, we will be made holy in glory with our Father in heaven. So holiness is becoming Christ-like or being Christ-like. And as believers on earth, there's this process that God begins to work in our life. Once we become born again, once we become followers of His, there's this transforming process that takes place in our lives. So I have a couple of things I want to share on this for us to think about. The first is what I call regular repentance. Regular repentance. As the Lord works in our lives, and we become saturated with His Word, we're praying, we're listening to good teaching, He begins to teach us things and call us to repentance. And it's a process. And day by day, we're learning new things, or week by week, or month by month, and there needs to be regular repentance. So a question I'd like to ask is, when was the last time you repented from something? Now, repenting means to change our mind. Our mind's set on this way, doing things my way, living life according to me, myself, and I, the Holy Trinity, unholy Trinity. And then we repent, we change our mind, and we decide we're going to do it God's way and follow Him, follow what Christ leads. Well, He does this with things in our lives as well. We realize we're going this way. Oh, that's not of God. And we repent, we turn. So when was the last time you repented of something? We ought to have regular, if our relationship with Him is alive, he's going to be revealing to us things in our life. It's like the onion being peeled back, things that we need to repent of. So when I look back at last year, can I see that I have made some progress? Can I look back and see I've repented of something? I'm no longer doing that, or I'm doing this now that I wasn't doing. You with me on this? Regular repentance. That's a process of personal holiness. In the area of morality, I believe as believers, as brothers in Christ, there should not even be a hint of impropriety among us. Not even a hint of it. In our business, in our finances, in our sexual practice, not even a hint. Of course, we are bombarded now from our political leaders to business leaders to the athletes. There's something constantly of folks being immoral or doing things that are wrong. And it's almost easy to become numb to it. But as followers of Jesus, as brothers in the Lord, who are living in moral purity in all aspects of that. And then there's the area of pornography. And I'm going to camp out here for a while. Mainly because I got a group of men. I don't get to talk about this that often. But secondly, I don't know of anybody else talking about this. Or at least I don't hear about it in the church. And I know we've got some younger guys here. And so if some of you dads may have to have some conversations later, because I'm not going to hold back, okay? Exodus 20:14 tells us one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus took this to a new level in Matthew 5:27 when he said, you have heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I like the way the Message translates this. You know the next commandment pretty well too. Don't go to bed with another spouse. But don't think you've preserved your virtue simply by staying out of bed. Your heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks you think nobody notices, they also corrupt. Hear this quote from Robert Daniels. When God expressed through the law His standards for sexual holiness, the punishments announced for the violation of His laws included diseases. Deuteronomy 7 says that if there was a strict obedience to those laws, God would not put any of the diseases on His children that they had seen in Egypt. He went on to warn the children of Israel not to engage in any of the sexual practices of the nations, that He was giving to them. So, I want to bore you a minute. Hopefully it's not a bore, but I want to ask your patience because I want to give you a brief history lesson. I say brief, it's longer than I thought it would be. In 1953, Playboy magazine began. In 1960, and I want you to keep these numbers in your heads, there were three STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, three. The divorce rate was 9.2 per thousand, less than 1% in 1960. 5.3 babies were born to unwed mothers. 5.3% of babies born were born to unwed mothers. And most of those were what we would call in the South common law marriages. You know, they were living together and they were. Also in 1960, the birth control pill was publicly introduced. 1963, public school prayers were made illegal. In the 1960s, the sales of Playboy went through the roof, and by the end of the 60s, circulation climbed to over 7 million. 1965, Penthouse was first published, pushing the known limits of what was allowed to be published. 1969, first no-fault divorce laws appear, and the divorce rate began to escalate. Also, the gay rights movement begins with homosexual riots in Greenwich Village at Stonewall Bar. 1970, Penthouse pushes the limit further with no prosecution. Circulation tops 1 million. In 1907, 11% of babies born were born out of wedlock. 1973, abortion, the killing of babies in the womb, becomes legal. 1973, homosexuality is taken off the list of psychiatric mental disorders by the American Psychiatric Association. 1973, as a result of Miller versus California, pornography had to meet a threefold test to be defined as obscenity, opening the door to widespread distribution. 1973, also the first gay rights parade takes place in San Francisco. 1974, Larry Flint's Hustler magazine first published, and after running naked pictures of former First Lady Jackie Kennedy Onassis, the circulation jumped to 2.5 million per issue. 1976 to 1980, first home computers were introduced by Apple and IBM. 1976, satellite TV was introduced. 1977, the first VCR was introduced. It was Beta versus VHS. Some of you remember those days. After Sony wouldn't share Beta technology, pornographers went with VHS, and Beta was doomed. 1977, first videos were rented in stores, leading to an explosion of video stores. 1978-79, estimates were that 75% of all videos rented were X-rated. 1981, first case of HIV in the U.S. was reported. Now there are over 50, in 1981, 50 STDs being shared throughout the culture. 1984, the first year data was available, 7,584 cases of sexually transmitted disease, chlamydia, were reported. 1985 to now, explosion in home computers and the growth of the internet, porn can now be downloaded. 1985, adult video rentals generated $79 million. 1985, U.S. viewers rented 75 million adult videos. Also in 1985, American Online was founded. 1987, first phone sex lines were opened for business. 1990, Adult Video News reported that nearly 100 X-rated videos were being produced and distributed every month. 1992, in the U.S., 490 million adult videos were rented. 1992, 30% of the babies born were born out of wedlock. 1994, I'm sorry, I just feel like I need to take you through this. 1994, Playboy magazine goes live on the internet, and without any promotion, the first day they had over 10,000 hits from 30 countries. Today it is over 4 million per day. 1995, it's estimated that nearly 31 million Americans had genital herpes. Each year, an estimated 500,000 new cases occur. In the U.S. alone, over 80% of the people with genital herpes suffer from symptomatic recurrences of the disease following an initial outbreak. 1996, 15 million of sexually transmitted disease cases reported with young people infected up to 50% by age 25. 1996, Playboy now has two 24-hour pay-per-view networks available in 20 million of the 60 million households where pay-per-view is offered. 1997, we're now up to 32% of babies born are born out of wedlock. 1997, one in five Americans infected with genital herpes. That's 45 million people at that time. The divorce rate is now at 19.5%. In 1998, U.S. viewers rented 686 million adult videos. 1998, as well, an estimated 70,000 porn sites on the internet. Now we're in the year 2000. In January, 13 million people visited porn sites from their homes. By October, it was up to 22.7 million people. Also in 2000, nearly 1,000 X-rated videos were being produced every month in the United States. 5% of the U.S. population now has hepatitis B. This is in 2000, with an estimated increase of over 200,000 new cases a year. Also in the year 2000, 18.9 million new cases of STDs reported in the U.S. and over half in the age group 15 to 24. The divorce rate now hits 40% in the year 2000. Also in the year 2000, 750,000 were infected with HIV, 30 million worldwide, and 23 million had died. 2001, adult videos generated over $4 billion in revenue. Porn is bigger business than professional football, basketball, and baseball put together. 2001, 3,000 new internet porn sites were added each week, according to the N2H2 filtering list. 2002, 65 million Americans have an incurable STD, according to the CDC. 2003, the Supreme Court of the U.S. declares sodomy laws unconstitutional. 2003, the N2H2 spokesman says commercial internet porn now is over 1.3 million sites. Also that year, Americans spent $465 million watching adult pay-per-view movies on their home TVs, most of which went to so-called respectable companies that we know as Time Warner and AT&T Broadband. 2004, 20 million Americans now infected with HPV, human papilloma virus, with an estimated 5.5 million becoming infected every year. 4.6 million of those were between age 15 and 24. 2004, the Gay Pride Parade in San Francisco draws over 1 million people. 2004, Nelson surveys that women account for more than 25% of all visitors to internet porn sites. So fast forward to today, or almost today, 2015, the Supreme Court rules that marriage can now exist between two people of the same sex. Where we are now, the sex industry is the largest and most profitable industry in the world. It includes street prostitution, strip clubs, phone sex, and pornography. That's not even including what we now know as human trafficking. 13,000 adult videos are produced annually, and the porn industry made $13 billion in profit last year. Let me just give you a comparison. 13,000 adult videos, $13 billion in profit. Hollywood only produced 507 movies, and their profit was only $8.8 billion. 30 million people are viewing porn every second. Let that sink in a minute. Every second. Every 39 minutes, a new porn film is created in the United States. Half of all website traffic on the internet is related to pornography. Most men are exposed to porn for the first time by age 10. What else can I tell you here? The U.S. is the number one producer of pornographic material, and 20% of American men admit that they access pornography at work. 70% of all pornographic searches occur during the workday, 9 to 5. So just a couple of comparisons. In 1960, the divorce rate was less than 1%. As of 2017, the first marriage was 41%. The second marriage, 67%, and the third marriage, 74% divorce rate. STDs, In 1960, there were three. Now there are over 60. 1 million new cases a day worldwide, by the way. Number of abortions since 1973, over 60 million and counting. And as far as unwed mothers, in 1960, 5.3% of babies were born out of wedlock. Now it's 40% of all babies are born to unwed mothers. So while many of us have been living life, raising our families, preaching the word, this insidious, corruptive agent has been working under the surface, destroying millions of lives and families, and has literally removed the moral backbone from our nation in one generation. Unless we think Christian people are exempt, and this is why I'm bringing this to you, all the studies show, sadly, that there is no difference in the statistics between believers and non-believers. So let us focus on ourselves and our sphere of influence and remove this deathly hallow from among us. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And let us rejoice that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a forgiving God, and that He's a healing God, and that He is a restoring God. We've got to begin to exhibit personal holiness, especially in this area of our lives. Now, the consequences of this wickedness, porn, are several, and you might be able to come up with some more. First, it affects your relationship with God and with other people, even when you don't realize it. Fortunately, 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Secondly, you become addicted. And when you are addicted, you are enslaved. You're in bondage. We just heard 2 Timothy 2:22, now flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace and those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. This addiction is serious. It's chemical, and the studies show it. Third, it causes you to commit adultery against your wife. Hebrews 13:4 says, the marriage bed should be kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. And fourth, you're contributing to the moral decline of the nation. Those are just some of the effects. So I want to offer you some suggestions for getting the victory in your life. And just so you know, I'm not sharing this because I'm some high and roller preacher and trying to condemn everybody to hell. No, I'm sharing this because this is crippling the power of the church. It's quenching the Holy Spirit in ways that people don't realize. And let me say this. When I was a child, my mother would take her child support checks and spend it on her partying and her drug habits and all that kind of thing. And we had pornographic magazines around the house, Playboy and Penthouse and others. And so as a way of making money, is this being recorded? I hope they don't come after me. As a way of making money so I could eat or buy clothes, I would cut out the pictures, and I'd sell them to friends for 25 cents or a dollar. I did, fifth, sixth grade. I was exposed to this stuff at an early age, so I've had to deal with it myself. So I'm not sharing this from somebody that thinks he's perfect. You know, today you can hardly watch a movie in which there's not some pornographic scene. Or you can't even watch the news anymore without some advertisement on how to improve your sex life. And now all this stuff is literally available on your phone with all kinds of apps and social networks. You just wouldn't believe the horror stories I hear about what folks are doing with their phone. So you have to be intentional about keeping this perversion out of your life. You have to work at it now. And that's what it is. It is perversion. But it's so commonplace that it's viewed as acceptable, as normal. But it's not with God. So you have to want to rid this out of your life And you can with God's help. So a couple of suggestions. Number one, you have to purpose in your heart that you will not defile your body. Like Daniel in chapter 1, verse 8, when he said that he resolved that he would not defile himself with the wrong kind of food. He purposed in his heart. He said, I'm gonna take charge of this. You have to purpose in your heart. Number two, you have to starve the addiction. Starve it. This addiction is as powerful as alcohol, drug addiction, gambling addiction, or shopping addiction. There's, as I said earlier, there's literally a chemical that is produced and it wants to be fed. And you begin to crave for it. I love chocolate. Oh my goodness, I love chocolate. And I hadn't had chocolate in a while. It's just you know what I'm talking about. Well, it's 10 times worse with this. You have to starve it. Number three, follow Jesus' example and use Scripture to fight your temptations. Like we were talking about earlier, memorize them, meditate on them, quote them to the temptation. Scripture, the power of Scripture is tremendous. Number four, and this is where some of you have to get vulnerable. Share with a trusted friend to hold you accountable. Share your issues with a trusted friend to hold you accountable. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Ecclesiastes 4:9, we usually think about this in marriage services for some reason, but two are better than one because they have good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. So find a trusted friend to hold you accountable. In the College of Bishops, I've asked our bishops to take this seriously. And we've gotten accountability partners, and we have all our electronics hooked up to a system called Covenant Eyes, which monitors where you go. And once a week, your accountability partner gets a report. Bishops are doing that. I want to encourage you to find something like that if you need to. It's very helpful. Number five, turn it off. And unplug yourself from the source. Now, I know that's difficult when it's bombarded at you so much in the culture. But in ways you know you can cut it off, cut it off. Number six, you may need to seek counseling. And if you do, there's nothing to be ashamed about. Get help. You will be much happier and much more fulfilled and more the person God wants you to be if you get help with this. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. There are actually specific addiction counselors that can help you with this issue. Number seven, pray and ask God to strengthen you and help you. And He will. He will. And number eight, and this is probably the most important one, don't give up if you give in. Don't give up if you give in. God is with you, and He will help you. As the saying we learned as a child, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Don't give up. So I stopped on this issue because it really is something everybody's afraid to talk about. But we've got to, men. We've got to get a hold of this because it is affecting the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit in the church and through the church and reaching the culture. This whole thing about personal holiness... what's the saying that, I can't hear you because of what you're saying, what your life is saying? We want to reach people that we care about. We want to reach our neighbors. We want to be good evangelists and disciple other people. But so often, because of what our life is reflecting to people, they can't hear us. Personal holiness. Men, as followers of Jesus, men who are filled with the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead us into holiness. And when we sin, we confess it. And when we confess it, the Holy Spirit just renews us. I don't know how biblical this is, but this is the sense I have. When I sin, I quench the Holy Spirit. And it's like a faucet being turned off on the spigot in your sink. And when I confess it, it's like that faucet just all of a sudden opened back up and the Spirit comes. But we've got to confess it. Keep that spirit flowing through us. When I look back at the last year or last 5 years, am I more like Jesus than I used to be? Am I thinking more like Him? Am I acting more like Him? Personal holiness. You know, a good place to start, and I'm not trying to be a legalist. You can only do what I'm talking about through the power of the Holy Spirit and as you yield to Him. But at the same time, He calls us to holiness. So a good place to start, if you're wondering about this, just go to the Ten Commandments. They are commandments. But go to the Ten Commandments and put them to work in your life. Just start practicing them. Make sure they're alive. And that's a great place to start. Build them into your life. And remember, this is not for salvation, to earn our salvation. This is for sanctification, to become more like Jesus. It's done through the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. So, I've dumped a lot on you. You're now going to have some small group time, and so I've got a couple of questions I want you to ask. The first is, what does it mean? Because I'm not God's answer all. I want you to ask this: what does it mean to have personal holiness? So I'd like y'all to toss that around a little bit. Number two, what suggestions would you give to a friend who is fighting his addiction to porn? What suggestions would you give to a friend who is fighting his addiction to porn? And then another's more of a speculation kind of thing. With the breakdown of Christian values around us, how does one practice personal holiness when it runs contrary to what we're being taught? So before I send you out, let me pray for you. Yes. With the breakdown of Christian values around us, how does one practice personal holiness when it runs contrary to what we're being taught? So none of us have arrived on this. Let me just say this. The Archbishop hasn't arrived on this. We're working on this every day. But God is faithful. He promises to help us. But above all, He loves us. And He wants to just pour out His grace upon us. He wants to give us His blessing. But so many times we block it. Many times because we don't know it. But we've got to stop resisting and allow Him to live His life through us. And part of that is being holy, like Jesus was holy. So let's pray. Father, I thank You for these men and I thank You for their love for You. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that You would free them from any kind of legalism about what we're talking about. But that through the power of the Holy Spirit, in each of us, You would manifest Your holiness. Each of us have different places where we're coming from and different issues that we need to wrestle with. So I pray whatever those are, You would give us the power, the strength to face them and deal with them and walk in the power of Your Spirit to the glory of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for listening, guys.